God. See, everybody made it out in spite of the weather. Yes, praise God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. There's one thing about it. It's nothing like commitment, being committed, you know, being committed. Faithfulness and commitment. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for ever-increasing Word Training Center. We thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the anointing and the mantle that's on this ministry and our man of God. And we thank you, Lord God, that as we get into our lessons, Lord God, that impartations, Lord God, manifestations will begin to take place in our lives, Lord God. We just give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that you just grace me, Lord God, that I might speak to the students, Lord God, and impart something to them, Lord God, that's going to increase them in whatever the endeavor that you have them to do. And Father, as always, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. So Holy Ghost, I just lean completely and totally unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Last week, we had a really good lesson. We talked about Miriam, and we talked about Aaron and Moses, and how Miriam and Aaron came up against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he had married, the black woman that he married. But one of the things I didn't point out because the time was running out, Miriam, all the years of her intercession and watching Moses and being there as a custodian to help Moses, you know, for about 85 years of you know, intercession and backing Moses, because of her act of disobedience, she did not enter the promised land. You know, she didn't enter the promised land. Aaron, who was the high priest, for 40 years, he went into the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory of God was, you know, and he blessed the people. But because of him, you know, conspiring with Miriam, he did not enter the promised land, you know. And even Moses himself, you know, God told Moses to strike the rock. You know, I mean, to speak to the rock, I'm sorry. But he struck the rock, you know, and because of that one act of disobedience, God did not allow Moses to enter the promised land, you know. And actually, that whole generation wandered in the wilderness for 40-plus years, and only Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land. Now, that's something we really need to think about, you know, what dishonor can do and how it can cut off your legacy, cut off your blessing. You know, I mean, I understand we're in the dispensation of grace, but we need to make sure that in every level, in every area of our lives, that we're walking in total honor to God, total honor to our apostle, our pastor, those people that God has placed us under. Amen. All right, we're going to begin to talk about today about Noah and Noah's sons. And what I'm going to do right quickly is we're going to go to the Word of God, and I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And I'm going to read verse 1 first. And then we're going to go down to around verse 7 and then verse 19. It says in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1, we're talking about Noah. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, that's very important because God now is giving Noah a mandate. Did I say Moses or did I? Okay, I said Noah. I want to make sure I was saying it right. Because for some reason I was thinking Moses, but okay. God told Noah, and he gave him this mandate to repopulate, because as we know, creation was destroyed with water. And Noah and his family were the only ones spared, you know, because Noah found grace with God. You know, that's even that is a blessing. You know, you want to find grace with God. The one way to find grace with God is to honor him and to honor who God has placed over you. You're going to find grace with God. And that's so very important. All right, let's move on. Now, let's go down to verse 7. It says in verse 7, and you be fruitful. Now, this is God speaking to Noah. It says, and you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply there. In other words, replenish the earth. Actually, you think about what God is telling Noah right here. He's actually giving Noah the same instructions that he gave Adam. You know, God always wants and have wanted a people that's going to serve him. You know, he's always wanted a people that's going to serve him. And Noah, as I said, found grace with God. And so God has given Noah the awesome mandate to repopulate the earth. Amen? All right, now let's go down to verse 18. Let's start at 18. And it says, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of these was the whole earth overspread or repopulated. Verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman and planted a vineyard, and he drank the wine and was drunk, and he was uncovered within the tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, curse be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he blessed, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So we see here several things happen. You know, Noah, it says that, going back to verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman. Now, we just saw in two places where God gave Noah a mandate. He told Noah to repopulate the earth, you know, replenish it. Same almost exact mandate, you know, he gave Adam, you know, to start, you know, creation as far as, you know, mankind is concerned. But now Noah gets involved with being a gardener. And begins to build a vineyard. Even though he had a mandate from God to repopulate the earth and to dominate it, very similar, as I said, that what God had told Abraham, or Adam, I'm sorry. First off, you need to stay focused on your God-given assignment. That's uttermost. Most important of anything else, stay focused on your God-given assignment. What has God spoken to your heart? What has God enlightened you with and put something on the inside of you that's burning like a fire? You know, you can't lose focus of that because God, the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So if God has called you to do something or has gifted you with some special gift or talent, It's for you to use that for his glory. And that's so very important, because the minute you stray away from that, you stray away from your God-given assignment. You stray away from your God-given mandate. God cannot bless what he did not ordain. You know, God cannot bless what he did not ordain. You know, because the Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So, you know, if you start building something that God didn't give you, give you instructions to do it, you know, God just steps back and lets you, you know, work on your own. And the worst thing you want to do is to be doing the work of God by yourself. That's the worst thing you want to do, is to be doing the work of God without his assistance, without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. You know, you talk about being a prey for the enemy. You know, it's bad enough when people put themselves in position, you know, they don't have a call of God on their life to be a pastor or a teacher or an apostle, and they give themselves these titles that don't fit them at all. That's bad, you know. But then now you go off and you start doing something that God didn't even tell you to do, you know, and you're doing it on your own. And that's terrible. That's going to end in complete and total disaster. Matter of fact, to be perfectly honest with you, a lot of people who have done that have expired early because, you know, God, he tried to get them back on track, There were ministers who actually got sick. And then once they sought the Lord, God says, I never told you to do that. You know, I never told you to do that. And then once they got back on track, God healed them and they got back on their assignment. You know, stick with the assignment. That's I can't underemphasize that. Stick with the assignment. Whatever God's called you to do, you want to stick with the assignment. All right. And I already stated that God has always desired to have a people that's going to serve him and obey him, you know, fulfilling their destiny. You honor God when you fulfill your God-given divine assignment. This is the most important assignment in your life. And that's I can't underemphasize that. You honor God. You honor your pastor. You honor your spiritual father when you stay focused on your assignment and not let other things distract you and take you off course. You don't want to be off course, you know. And you see, sometimes you can just get off course 1 or 2 degrees. You know, if you start in New York City and you set the instruments on a plane, you know, but you know you're going west, you're going to Los Angeles, but you whatever it is that you have to set, I'm not a pilot, so I don't know, but if you just set it 1 or 2 degrees off, you know, the first 50 miles, you're still really on course. But after you get 200-300 miles, you know, down the airways and 1,000 miles, the further you go, the further you get off track, you know. And so that's why it's so very important to stay on track, because if you get off track, you're gonna get way off track, and then it's gonna be hard to get back. Then it's going to be hard to get back. Let's move on. The Bible says that Noah began to be a husbandman, a gardener, and he planted a vineyard, you know, which was grapes, you know, and he became inebriated or drunk. Inebriated, that's a nice way of saying he got drunk, he got stoned. And he lost focus of his God-given purpose because he became uncovered. Now, Noah was uncovered not in the world, but he was uncovered in his own tent. You can almost say he was uncovered inside the church. You see, you know, it's one thing to backslide and to go off into the world and get in trouble and get in sin. But when you think you're doing something for God and then God didn't even tell you to do that. You know, that's, you know, you're still off course and you're still not going to reach your destiny, you know. And that's what was happening to Noah. He got inebriated and he lost focus on God telling him and his three sons to repopulate the earth. Noah got consumed with the byproduct of his anointing and started a sideline project or a sideline ministry when his mandate was to repopulate the earth. You know, I'm gonna use myself as an example. I really can't say exactly when I know God, you know, put in my heart that I had a call for ministry. I just always loved to teach. I mean, when I was back in the Baptist circles, 9, 10 years old, when I graduated from the primary Sunday school and went to the intermediate, I taught the primary. I've been doing it ever since I could remember. You know, even in college, I was over a campus ministry at Southern University. Everywhere I went, seemed like I just, And I didn't even ask for that. I just went to a Sunday school service one day and found out that the superintendent, who was another gentleman, a college student, got an intern, and they needed somebody to be the superintendent. And they looked at me and said, "Why don't you do it?" And I said, "Why me?" They said, "Well, you're as good as anybody." And the next thing I know, I'm teaching Sunday school lessons at Southern University, you know. And the next thing I know, I get filled with the Holy Spirit, get saved, and in the process, you know, I mean, not just because of me, it was a lot of other things going on, but, you know, I saw hundreds of people get saved, hundreds of people get filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's another story. But, you know, getting back to, you know, after a protracted period of time, you know, all I knew was ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. All I knew was ministry. But then all of a sudden, I start working, get married, and I get involved in, you know, I mean, God has blessed me and was blessing me and is blessing me. But I get involved in other activities that's not bad in themselves, but that caused me to drift away from what God. See, God has spoken to my heart when I was a student and told me and began to share with me about supportive ministries. He said, "Son," he says, "I'm not going to use you in the forefront. You're not going to be up always up on the podium, in the pulpit, you know." He says, I'm going to use you in the area more of the ministry of helps, in undergirding somebody and supporting them, you know, and being in that role. And I remember exactly where I was. And one thing, when God speaks to you, you're going to remember. It's almost like, you know, when you etch something and you engrave something, it's going to be engraved in your heart. You know, so I knew that. But then getting back, and I'm losing time because I got a lot of stories, as you know. But anyway, I hope that they bless somebody. So now I'm married, I'm working, and I always did love photography, still do, you know. And so I get involved in now a photography business, you know, doing wedding photography, you know, special events and videotaping, you know, weddings. And I mean, you know, I was doing well. I bought my own edit. I had my own dark room. I used to develop my own pictures because I enjoyed that. But what was happening, I wasn't content. You know, I mean, I never forget when I almost broke my camera. It almost broke my heart. And I said, "Lord, what's going on?" I bought me a real nice monitor for my video camera and broke that. And I said, "What's going on?" You know, it just seemed like things just wasn't clicking. You know, I'm going to just be honest with you. I was at a church, but I wasn't really doing much, just going, you know, attending Wednesday service, attending Sunday service, and then going about my business, you know, doing me, you know. But then, yeah, I mean, we've all been there, you know, you can relate. But then all of a sudden, you know, because of that, you know, my wife and I, we met doing ministry when we were on campus, you know. And so all of our together lives, you know, us being together, was always involved with ministry, you know. And now it's work. We go on, you know, buying a house, buying this, doing all these things, and I'm in my video business. And so because we never related no kind of other way, it caused a little friction, just because she knew something wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right, you know. But all of a sudden, we had some friends of ours who was members of Word of Life Christian Center. We were at a church. We wanted to go to counseling to a particular at our church, but he said, "Well, you know," she said, I think my pastor wouldn't mind counseling." So we went and seen the apostle. It was at that time in my life that I was confronted with destiny. You know, I'm gonna just be honest with you. Had known the word, ministered it, you know, and most men, I look them in the eye. You know, ministers, you know, I wasn't really intimidated, but I was intimidated. You know, I was intimidated. You know, I knew there was something different about apostle. You know, I'm crying, you know, because, you know, he said, "Son," he said, you need to be ministered to. You need to be pastored. He said, "You got a call of God on your life, but you're not, in other words, you're not really adhering to it." And it scared me because never before in my life had somebody read my mail that thoroughly and that accurately. You know, I couldn't wait to get out of there because flesh still wanted to do me. You know, I'm saying all of this because, you know, Noah had a mandate from God to do a certain thing, just like Jonah had a mandate, you know, to go to Nineveh. But he ran and God had to intervene with a whale to get him back on track. You know, you're not going to be satisfied. And you say, okay, what all this got to do with honor? It's got everything to do with honor. It's got everything to do with honor. Because you're going to honor God doing what God called you to do, or you're not honoring him. You know, you're being disobedient. You know, partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You know, you don't want to be in disobedience. You know, God can't bless disobedience. You know, he can't bless it. Let me move on because I'm wasting my time. Anytime you have an individual who goes away from their corporate God-given mandate and anointing and become inebriated by the byproduct of their gift, this sideline ministry that God cannot ordain. Anytime you become intoxicated or inebriated or drunk with a sideline ministry and lose focus, you can't see straight. You're out of focus. A ministry that loses focus on its God-given mandate can become intoxicated like Noah with a sideline ministry and become uncovered in the church or in the tent, you know, so you can actually become uncovered and not fulfill your destiny. The worst thing you want to do is not fulfill your destiny. And that's what was happening with Noah here. But let's move on. Let me get to, okay, he became uncovered, naked, and exposed. When Ham saw the nakedness of his father, it opened the avenue. Listen to this. It opened the avenue for Ham also to be uncovered because Noah was his father. And if his father becomes uncovered and exposed or his sin becomes exposed, well then, you know, if your father can get away with something, then you think, well, maybe it's okay. His dad is doing it. You ever heard the expression, a chip off the block? You know, the author says that's why it's so important for fathers to act right and to live right and to be upright. You know, natural fathers and more so even spiritual fathers, because you are going to have the same DNA as your spiritual father. The same spiritual makeup as your spiritual father. So as he goes, because you're submitted and under his teaching that's the way he's going to go. You know, people are going to know you. You know, I've heard ministers before who were under different camps. I know this one guy who was under Dr. Dollar's camp. And he went visiting another church and another crusade or something. And the minute he walked in there, somebody in the building says, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "Are you Dr. Dollar?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, you walk just like him." You know, he said, And then somebody else, he got to speaking and said, you talk just like him. You know, I mean, because that's what he was getting fed from. And so he picked up the same spiritual DNA. People will know you because of the DNA or because of the association, you know. And so it's very important for fathers to be the right example so that the sons can pick up the right DNA so that they can fulfill their destiny. Amen. All right. Because if the father can do something and get away with it, as I said earlier, the son tends to feel like he can do the same thing because of the association. You fall into the same trap that the uncovered father did. I've seen that with people I know, and I've shared illustrations before where a pastor falls into sin, falls into sex sin, instead of the son covering him and staying there and help restoring his pastor, he goes off and starts another church in another part of the state. 3, 4, 5 years later, the same exact thing befalls him. You know, it's dangerous. You know, you need to stay with your covering, and you need to be there where God's called you to be. Remember, it does matter, and I just stated it. It does matter who you associate with, whose covering you're under. Who is your spiritual father? It makes a difference. It does. It does matter who you associate with. And the reason being is because you are connected to a spiritual covering because, you know, like I said, you're going to have that same spiritual DNA. Ham, who was the father of Cana, came in and saw his father's nakedness and went outside the tent and he told his two brothers. And the way he did it was very disrespectful. You know, he did it, as the author said, in a kind of a facetious way, you know, as to make fun of his father. That in itself was dishonor. Yeah, you might have caught him in something, but you should have been there and restore him. Instead of now you're going out and you're tattletaling, you know. But the other two brothers, out of respect for their father, they took a sheet and they both took that sheet and they backed up. And they covered the nakedness of his father. And by doing that, they saved themselves from being covered, you know, or uncovered, you know. And we'll see in a minute that because of their act of obedience and honor to their father, they were blessed, you know. But Ham, the father of Cana, was cursed, you know. This is something you just don't play with. You don't play with it. You know, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. I don't even think wrong thoughts around a man of God. I'm going to be honest with you. I remember one time the apostle was ministering to this young lady at the altar, and she just kind of looked at, I didn't see it, but he saw it. She looked at him kind of cross-eyed, you know, kind of. And he got on. He said, don't look at me like that. You know, you're disrespecting me. I'm trying to minister to you, and you showing disrespect just by your look, you know. And that's a dishonor, you know. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. When you have a father that's has uncovered himself, and the son speaks badly about the covering, that opens the door for the curse that the father initiated to come upon the son. Ham's lineage was cursed. Not just Ham, but the generation of Cana was cursed to be a servant of servants. A servant of servant means that they were going to be slaves. You know, and they were actually going to be servants or slaves, his descendants, to the descendants of Shem and Japheth. You know, and that's bad. It says here, when the father becomes uncovered, the son must still honor their father by using their anointing and gifts to cover the nakedness of their father. And that's so very important. Noah's two sons, after hearing about their father's nakedness, Shem and Japheth came in, like I said, backwards, and they covered the nakedness of their father. They honored their father by covering him and covering his sin and restoring him because he had got off track. And as I stated earlier, and I'm getting ahead of myself, because of that, they were blessed. Anytime you walk in honor, the blessings of God are going to chase you down, because honor beget honor. Yes, sir. When you show honor, you can't help but receive honor. It's a natural recourse. You know, you're going to reap what you sow. You know, going back to Genesis chapter 8, I think the last verse somewhere, you know, it talks about, you know, as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, heat and cold shall not cease. You know, so basically, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You know, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sowing the seed of dishonor, as Ham did, can affect the generations after you, your children and your children's children. It will cut off the generation. Well, we're going to just shut you off then. That's the problem with technology. It has a mind of its own. Amen. Praise God. All right. Anyway, sowing the seed of dishonor as Ham did can affect the generations after you, your children and your children's children. It can cut off the generational blessing of your lineage. You know, this is a kind of a side track. It's not in the book, but it's something I learned over the years. There's a difference between sin, transgression, and iniquity. Okay? Sin, you know, if you ever played darts and you had that dartboard and you're throwing that dart and you're trying to hit the bullseye of the centerpiece, you know, sin is actually you missed the mark. You know, God has set the mark, which is His Word of God, and you missed the mark. You know, but you want to be on track, but you missed the mark. You can ask God for forgiveness and get right back on track. Okay, transgressions is when now when you sin, but you transgress. That word trans means move. Gress is when you be aggressive. You transgress. You actually, it's a sin that you commit against somebody else. Transgressions. You know, rape is a transgression. You know, assault, transgression. You know, so not only are you affecting yourself, but you're affecting somebody else. So that's a higher degree. Okay, but iniquity. Iniquity is totally different. You know, it's a sin where now you have become twisted in it. You like it. You crave it, okay? With iniquity it's the word twisted and wickedness is where you get the word wicker, like wicker furniture, which is twisted furniture. When a person gets involved in iniquity, it not only affects them, but it affects their generations. If you do a word search on the word iniquity, you'll find, I don't remember exactly where the scriptures were, where it affects the your generation all the way to the third generation. When the iniquities of the fathers will affect the generations. You know, but that's, like I said, that's a little side thing. But dishonor is almost a kindred to that when you walk in blatant dishonor, because it'll affect the generations. Amen. All right. Because of the seed of dishonor, the generations will work hard. And they will not get paid because they're servants. You know, they're going to always, you know, be working. But those people who walk in honor, everything they do is going to be sweatless. Why? Because the blessing. Because honor will breed honor. You know, so you always want to walk in honor. Person who walks in dishonor, the ministry, their ministry won't develop. When you walk in dishonor, your ministry is not going to get off the ground. Because it can't, because the dishonor. In the book, the author talks about this, and I've shared this before. This one man, he couldn't figure out why things weren't happening in his ministry. And he prayed, he had somebody pray, and they said, "You've dishonored your father. You need to go back and you need to repent. And you need to ask your spiritual father for forgiveness." So he goes back with a gift. And when he gets to the driveway, he gets on his knees and he crawls to the house, and the spiritual father sees him and comes and hugs him and tells him, son, and he says, you know, forgive me. He said, yeah, I forgive you. You know, but I've heard apostles say people have come to him to tell him to release me. You know, I've sinned against you. Because you see, what happens is you're sinning against a God-given assignment. You know, I like the way one author says, the anointing of God, as we know, is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. When you come against the anointing of God, or the mantle which has the anointing wrapped in it to do the work of the assignment, you know, there's what he calls like the backhand of the anointing. You know, because if you become a burden and a yoke or a hindrance to the assignment, that thing will take you out. Because you're coming against the very thing that's supposed to bring deliverance. You come against about the very thing that God has assigned and given to the earth as a blessing. You know, you don't want to do that. And that's why honor is so very important. That's why we want to walk in honor in every area of our lives. Everything that we do, you know, we want to do it with the spirit of honor. You know, and I thank God for the apostle is restoring honor back into the church, restoring the government of God where people are respecting the fivefold ministry gifts and honoring them and recognizing that this is, you know, one thing I have learned, God calls and chooses who he wants to. We don't make that decision. But the decision we make is to fall in line with the assignment that God has given us. And you see, once you make that choice, whatever God's called you to do, whoever God has called you to serve under, well then you're entitled to the blessing that's on your pastor, that's on your man of God, that's on your spiritual father because of you honoring him and serving them to full capacity. You know, Elijah and Elijah, he says, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving you. You know, I don't care if you mess up. I'm here with you. Whatever it takes. I'm you know, and you see, that's something God has to place on the inside of you. You know, I always tell people, you want to know your man of God's heart. If you don't, you know, before you get involved in too much more, you want to, Lord, show me my pastor's heart so that I can have a heart for him. You know, there's times I might be doing something or get an assignment. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I'll be given an assignment in just in dealing with an individual or a couple or whatever. And sometimes I just get so frustrated with them because of not paying attention and not doing what you tell you to do. And you just want to just throw your hands out and say, just do what you want to do, you know. But then all of a sudden, listen up. But then all of a sudden, I remember something the apostle said. He said this one man who was always criticizing him and what have you, and you know, thought he was just after things. And there was a house that was on fire and people were on the inside, and the apostle stopped in his Rolls Royce or Mercedes Benz at the time. I don't remember how the apostle explained it, but it was his vehicle, and the guy stopped in his old truck, and they was running in to try to save the people. Well, the sparks were shooting and was shooting to both cars. And the guy saw his old truck about to catch on fire. So he went back to try to save his truck while the apostle was going in to save the souls, you know. And that showed, you know, I could care less about the car. I'm about the business of saving souls. And you see, those examples that he gives like that, it gets engraved on the end. So sometimes when I get a little discouraged, either with people or even with myself, you know, I recognize, and you see, this was all honor, all about honor, you know, the commitment that is made, you know, and the people's lives that have been changed and touched forever, you know, and you recognize that, hey, that God can do it for me too. You know, if I just, you know, the wheel has already been invented, you know, I mean, you know, the proof has already, in the pudding has already been, we see it. You know, we see the manifestation. So we know it's there. All we got to do is stay connected. Stay focused and stay in honor. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. You know, and never let your man of God, let your pastor, let you, you know, your apostle, you know, the person that you're serving under, faithfully, never let them become too familiar to you, to where you just see them as an ordinary, everyday person. No, that's a man or woman of God that's anointed by God with an assignment. If there's any one thing about this lesson I want to leave you in the last 18, 17, 16 seconds I got left is Noah got off track. Don't get off track. Stay focused on your assignment. Stay focused on your God-given mandate. And you can't help but be blessed. Zero. I'm finished. Amen. Amen.